He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, October 6, 2023. I hope you had a great week, and I hope you are looking forward to a big weekend. Kick off the dust, shake off the rust, whatever the expression is. I hope you have a lot in store. I hope you're going to be doing more of what makes you feel most like yourself with people who allow you to be who you really are. There it is. That's the mission. That's the mission statement, the vision, the branding statement for the podcast. I want you to be doing more of what makes you feel most like yourself with people who make you feel like yourself. Like you are yourself around them. You have no self-monitoring. You have no impression management. These are big words that I think I understand the meaning of. Hope you're doing well. I want to start you with just a quick quote from the late Maya Angelou. She said, and I read it this morning to my daughter, Maya Angelou said she learned that people do not remember what you said, they do not remember what you did, but they remember how you made them feel. I just thought that was pretty cool. My daughter and I go for a walk every night before we feed the, we walk the dogs, not before we feed ourselves. My wife is usually preparing the supper. The missus is in the pantry preparing the supper, and the lass and I take the canines for a 20-minute walk, and there is something near where we live, somebody who has an artistic bent, to say the least, who has what's called a poet tree. Get it? A poet tree. And on this tree, there is hanging like laundry lines. What do you call those things you hang the laundry on? This, I'm drawing a blank. Hang up the wash outside. Anyway, there in front of this person's house, there are strings stretching between a few trees, and this person clips onto those strings little snippets of poetry, which is pretty cool. That's that person's statement. That's like, this is what I believe in, this is what I care about, and it says, feel free to take one. So it looks like they're always being replenished little snatches of poetry. And the other day, my daughter and I on our walk grabbed the this one by Maya Angelou. And anyway, keep that in mind. That you know what you can do? You can just put poems out inside. If you have that inside you and that's most like yourself, if that's being you, just putting poems on trees out in front of your house, go do that. Who gives a shit what anybody else says? You know what I mean? Fuck no. All right, we're talking about poetry, Maya Angelou. Like a person of tremendous meaning and significance who lived a life. Not a poetry podcast. It's not a podcast about Maya Angelou, but I found a quote about Maya Angelou by this writer, an English writer, I think, who said, to know her life story is to simultaneously wonder what on earth you have been doing with your own life and feel glad that you didn't have to go through half the things she has. I know just a little bit about Maya Angelou's life, but that's a pretty compelling quote. I'll leave it to you one more time because it applies to all of us, at least the first half. And this is an awareness that other people, I guess, in the second half go through at times a lot more than you might have to go through or I might have to go through. To know her life story is to simultaneously wonder what on earth you have been doing with your own life. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get a lot of shit done. Are you getting done what you want to be? Are you doing more of what makes you feel most like yourself? Anyway, keep that in mind. People remember how you made them feel. I wanted to tell you this thing, speaking of my daughter. Thank you for your comments about, I'm scattershot here. What am I trying to say? Well, why don't you solve that by having some more espresso? Okay, great idea. Are you a grammar Nazi or just a regular Nazi? Are you someone who flips out when you hear someone say etc. or espresso and you wish they would just exit the room? I tilt a little bit when I hear people say etc. It's etc. It's a little more dainty, etc. It's actually not a little more dainty, it's a little more lispy, etc. Are you going to shave your chest, etc.? Are you going to put on lotion, etc.? Or are you going to put on lotion at all? It sounds a little more lispy to say etc., etc., but that's the way you say it. It's not etc. However, I do not flip out like some people do when people say espresso. It's incorrect, but it doesn't drive me crazy. What drives you crazy? People who use the word, here's a new segment. Not a new segment. It's just a thought that came to my head, and I'm not going to formalize it. But send me via email, yesjoesmith@gmail.com, or leave a comment somewhere on Instagram, as Dave did. I'll get to Dave's comments about bucket lists here in a moment. Thank you, Dave, for leaving a comment. Leave a comment. Send me a message on Instagram or an email telling me what words drives you crazy when people misuse them. Does that make sense? Why not? I like language. I try to use it correctly. I feel like there should be a fidelity to the way it's done. Of course, structure and usage changes over time. I get that. I like the evolution of things. But also, I like things spoken, written the way they should be. I don't like the Oxford comma. So write in. Tell me a word you don't like the use of and why. Or we don't like how people misuse it. You know, some people say, I played good. And it's really, well, you played well. It was a good result because you played well. No, I you did good. I played good. That's not how it's used. That doesn't drive me crazy. It's just means you haven't really been exposed to using it the right way, the correct way. Nobody ever told you, or you never internalized it, or whatever it is. What drives you crazy about people? Is it irregardless? Is it someone saying, that's a... One of my dogs is trying to hack up there, and I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to finish recording the podcast and just see what mess he made. What did he regurgitate on this day? Am I coming out hot? Yeah, because you know what? I'm doing more of what makes me feel most like myself, sitting and recording a podcast for you at 8:30 in the morning. That's where I want to be. This makes me feel most like myself. How about when someone says, a whole nother? That's a challenging one, because nother is actually short for another. Irregardless. These are just things that come to mind for me. Misuses of words. That's it. Misuse. Send in what you don't like. We all have little tics and irritations. Ones that come to mind immediately for me are etc. I know my wife doesn't like it when people say, that's a whole nother matter. As a whole is qualifying another. What gets on your tits? What don't you like? Is it espresso? Let me know. Etc. reminded me, I was thinking sort of, it was getting a little lispy when I said etc. There is a war against gay people in this country that doesn't make, gay people have always been good to me. So I'm cool with y'all. I spent much of my 20s living in a gay neighborhood. Once I got past my own sort of standard heterosexual, quasi-homophobia of my adolescence, I settled right into the community, and I was embraced. You know what I mean? And the community will embrace you. You could be right in the middle of a goddamn convenience store, and all of a sudden someone's embracing you. I feel like for a heterosexual man, I have an above average affinity and respect, admiration, peace, tranquility with the gay community. I feel like I'm an ally of the gay community, and that's the first time I've ever described myself as an ally seriously. I don't like that there is a war on gay people in this country. I was about to say I don't understand it, but I do understand it because it's religion. What else is the fucking problem? That's a new segment. What else is the fucking problem? Ding! Religion. Of course it's religion. Do Jewish people, they don't seem to have an issue. My understanding of religion is like this. It's pretty simplistic. I think there are like two religions, and I know that's not true. I think there's Christianity, bigoted, racist, hates women. Islam, bigoted, racist, hates women. Hinduism, I don't know much about the perspectives of women, though I know a lot of brown women who describe the challenges of growing up brown among men. What else? Did I miss any? Again, Jewish people seem to only be concerned about self-preservation. Selfish little Jew. They seem not to be trying to proselytize me into believing some nonsense. I also don't hear them railing on about, you know, women suck and gay people should be banished. Mormons. Mormonism's a religion. I don't know. I have a very simplistic understanding of religion, but I think that the answer to what's the fucking problem is religion. Anyway, I don't like... It's just assholish, and it's un-American. I mean, it's the most American thing, but it's also super un-American to think you're better than someone. We're goddamn USA, man. We're better than nobody. But you know what? Nobody's better than us. Does that make sense? We're not better than anybody, but nobody's better than us. Except China. And Israel. I'm kidding. I don't like the war on gay people, and it's certainly born of ignorance. And when I say ignorance, I'm not talking just about your religion. How did I get here? Oh, I know. I was talking about etc. You just don't know gay people. And I hate to paint with a broad brush and do that like, oh, you're Asian, you must be good at math. I'm not trying to do that positive racism. Gay people have a lot of fun, especially gay guys. Sorry, lesbians. I drive on my way to pick up my daughter. I drive through the mecca of gayness in San Diego called Hillcrest. And every day to pick up my daughter, I'm there at 2. I'm driving through that neighborhood at 2:45 p.m. 2:45 p.m. And I always drive down University Avenue, which is the teeth. It's hard not to drive through there without a swish in your tail. I go past a restaurant bar that used to be called Hamburger Mary's 100 years ago, and now it's called Moe's. And every day that I go by there at 2:45 p.m., it's Friday, it's Monday. Every day I go by there, it looks like New Year's Eve. And I'm talking about New Year's Eve, not hosted by Anderson Cooper and Andy from Watch These Straight Women Make Assholes of Themselves Live, whatever that shows. Real House, not Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper are the least gay, most boring people if you drop them into Moe's on a Tuesday at 2:45. The place is going off. All you hear is the sound of music, glasses and bottles clinking, and laughter and hollering. And I'm like, what is wrong with this? Straight people, we never do that. You know what I mean? Like, we don't... You don't go by a straight bar at 2:45 in the afternoon. A straight bar meaning a bar, right? Why do you call them gay bars? Well, because all the other bars are straight bars. Gay people at Moe's know how to do it, is what I'm saying. And if you weren't with the goddamn religion up your ass, you'd be like, maybe I'm going to take off work and go have four margaritas with these guys. Because it looks like you, it looks like, name your gay neighborhood times 100, West Hollywood, Provincetown. Pretty good, huh? What else can I come up with? Those are the first two that come to mind. West Hollywood, Provincetown. What else? Atlanta. Dude, relax on gay people. They don't want to change you. They don't want to fucking groom your kids like your priests do, okay? All they want to do is rage. They just... And gay people who do not rage at 245 or listening to this podcast, like, dude, you are setting us back years with this brief-ass, shorthanded stereotype. I'm just saying. I would much... Here's where I'm planting my flag. I would much rather hang out at Moe's. And you know what? So would most people. I'm going to say that the majority of people would rather hang out at Moe's with these guys who are raging like their lives depend on it. It's raining men. You know what I mean? I'm coming out. I want the world to know. You know that Nile Rodgers and his writing partner who wrote that song for Diana Ross, they're like, she wanted them to write a song, I'm coming out, with that great hook that Puffy and Biggie later sampled for Hypnotize or whatever it was. Nile Rodgers wrote that song after Diana Ross requested that he write a song for them because he had so many bangers with Chic and everything else in the 70s and 80s. And to write the song, he went, now that I hear it, he went to gay bars and trans bars in New York to, you know, explore sort of her fan base, I suppose, or much of her fan base at that time. This is a sort of loose understanding of it. And they noticed in these gay bars all these Diana Ross impersonators and saw how important she was to the gay community, or at least the drag community in New York at the time. And I know I'm simplifying, and go fuck yourself. I'm trying, okay, man? Why are you so defensive, bro? Nobody said what you fear you are. A little phobic in some way. I know. I didn't say that I was. I'm not trying to be defensive of that. I'm just saying they saw all these people dressed as Diana Ross impersonators, and these ostensibly straight guys, I think, wrote kind of a gay anthem for Diana Ross, who then thought maybe it was too gay or something. And anyway, it became the classic song that it is now. I'm coming up. It's raining, man. Have you seen Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, that movie? Phenomenal. About drag. Drag queens. You know what? Forget my gross stereotypes with gay people. Drag performers are more fun than you. And you're mad. Why are you mad at drag performers? Because they have more fun? Because they're more secure in themselves? Imagine the fucking liberty of being, the freedom of being a drag performer in the United States of America in 2023. Imagine the courage, first of all. When you have politicians screaming your name from the mountaintops, channeling hatred, fear, rage toward you. This minuscule percentage of the population that has said, look, we're going to go over here and do our shit, leave us alone. And you religious maniacs and you white supremacists are like Christian identity fucking assholes are like, no, we're going to come to your club and we're going to shoot it up. Bro, nobody asked you. Just stay the fuck where you belong. Let the drag performers do their thing. It's an act of courage and bravery to dress up as a drag performer in 2023. And you know what? It's way more fucking courageous than anything any one of us listening to this goddamn podcast has done. That might be a bit strong at the end there. I don't know what you've been through, but drag performers have more fun. Let them live, dude. Don't be mad. Don't hate. You're American. Be the bigger man. And I say man I know there are lots of women who are Christian nationalist bigots out there. And what? Is this what you really want? I thought you were going to talk about the bucket and Dave's nice comments. Thank you for listening, Dave. Gay people, sorry for the stereotype that everyone's at Moe's. I know that you're also running the Apple Corporation and you know, a lot of other important endeavors in the world. The city of San Diego, our mayor, Todd, can't make it up. The guy's name's Todd Gloria, is gay, right? I don't mean to stereotype. I'm talking about people, my people. You know who my people are? My people are drag performers and people who are at Moe's at 2:45 p.m. What straight bar outside of Boston has that level of enthusiasm at 2:45 in the afternoon? And the answer is none. Why might that be? Well, maybe they realize the preciousness of life. Maybe they realize they're part of a marginalized population and they can't take for granted the fact that they're not going to walk down the street and somebody's going to take exception to them living their lives just as their fucking honest selves. So they like to rage together. Now I'm all over the map, but Jesus Christ, dude. If you are a Christian nationalist, I'm here for you on this podcast, bro. Write in. I'll listen to you. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just telling you, you're fucked because drag performers are really fun. So it seemed like the tent is open. Come on in. Seriously, though, write in with with linguistic misuse that drives you crazy. I told you, my wife does not like a whole nother thing. So let me find this comment from Dave. Dave, thank you for... thank you for commenting on an Instagram post. Thank you all for listening and spreading the word about the podcast too. I appreciate that. Again, if you need a primer on how to describe it to people, tell them it's a comedy. Tell them it is a stand-up comedy, quasi feel better about yourself. Let's not say self-help. Feel better about yourself. And then U.S. Hypocrisy Podcast. We capture all those things. A little bit of stand-up comedy. There should be some comedy in the podcast. Also, should make you feel better about yourself, whether it is by comparison, you pity me, and you're like, God, my life is better than that. Like, you know what? Even though I don't have their alleged money, I watched some of those Real Housewives of... where was it? Orange County or Real Housewives of Utah... with my wife, she has them on, I feel better about myself because I'm not like them. Am I judging them? No. I just, like, I'm not sitting in judgment. I just feel better that I don't have those demons. I don't feel compelled to disfigure myself and to try to flex with all this, you know, name brand shit. I feel fortunate. I also, yeah, I feel better watching that stuff. I watch that stuff. It's like, you know, cotton candy. I don't feel great in the long run, but I'm like, okay, I'm reasonably well adjusted. And I know it's not the best comparison. I should go hang out with like the CEO of Apple and I'd be like, oh my God, I have a long way to go and I'm never going to get there. And maybe my daughter's kids will get to where this guy got who runs Apple. All right. So thank you for spreading the word about the podcast. It will make you feel better, and it also includes a little bit of American hypocrisy in there. Also, if you didn't catch the announcement I made on Instagram, the Tuesday's podcast that I put out 3 days ago, 4 days ago, whatever it was, has an extra 15 minutes on it. So if you listen, like, I know it's not like a fucking Beatles record found in a vault, but I'm just saying, if you want to listen, there is 15 more minutes about that open mic that I talked about that I went to on Monday night in Barrio Logan, which is to say, I put up the podcast, it was 30 minutes, and then Tuesday morning, I recorded another 15 minutes and added it to it. So if you listened early on Tuesday, you got a 30-minute podcast. People who subsequently listened have a 45-minute podcast, just in case you want to go back and listen. Anyway, Dave left a comment on an Instagram post of mine, and I appreciate that. Back to talking about the infatuation with buckets here in bucket lists in San Diego. Dave said, I listened to two of your recent podcasts in the last couple of days. Oh, well, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate that. And tell everybody, oh, he's a comic. Dave, it says Dave Patel does comedy. Yeah, I know Dave Patel. We had a little, I said he was the only Patel I saw at the January 6th insurrection. I listened to two of your recent podcasts in the last couple days. I agree with your disdain for bucket lists. I don't want to waste a whole evening hoping I might get a spot when they're never going to pull my name out of that bucket. The bucket thing is pull the names and then let me get on with my life. I get it. But you know what it is, Dave, and I share your sentiment. I understand why they do it. I understand why people, and if again, a quick reset, if you don't know what I'm talking about, imagine a lottery that draws one name every 5 minutes. And they'll do that over the course of 2 hours. And if you're one of those names that's been drawn over the 2 hours, you get up. But only one name is drawn at a time, so everyone has to sit there for the whole goddamn 2 hours to see if they're going to do a spot on the show. And I understand, Dave, like I said, why the showrunners do that, because they want people to stay in the room. It's a way to compel an audience. I understand it. I don't like it, like you. And I don't like it because I don't like being a captive audience. I don't like being made to stay there. And then you flip back to the other side. What they're saying is, like, if you really want to be part of the community, you should support your fellow comics. You should stay and watch their sets. And going back to staying in that mode, that's true. You should be a good member of the community, of the stand-up community scene. You should start a mic. You should have a show. You should, you know, hang out to some degree. You have to be visible. You have to show people that you're putting in the same work that everybody else is. But the nature of the beast is people don't like to be controlled. So compelling them to be there only frustrates them and pisses them off and pushes them even further to the back of the room where they're half listening, but only because they're waiting to hear if their name comes up. And they're seething increasingly with each minute that passes because you haven't pulled their name out and you're making them stay. And what's even worse is you could stay the whole 2 hours and not get up. And that's what happens at more than one open mic in San Diego. And it just frustrates me. It also, like I've said before, I don't think it rewards, well, first of all, like I said, on the one hand, I get why they do it and they want people to be part of a scene and support each other. Dude, that's not how stand-up works. Stand-up is a bunch of independent contractors who are not unionized, who come together in a room because that room has what they all individually need. There's not a collective comedy thing, movement. You know what I mean? Stand-ups have a lot in common with one another, which is why you meet another stand-up and you hit it off almost immediately. But it's just not the nature of a stand-up, because all you want to do is get up there and talk about your own shit to be like, hey, I'm going to stay in support. And that guy is never the funniest person, by the way. He might have some use to a comedy scene. Comics are just not inclined to stick around and watch what you say. So, and the other thing about the bucket, Dave, that drives me fucking crazy is I feel like it's captive. So you're wasting my time. I can't go start a mic. I can't try to go to another mic. I can't go write material or whatever it is. It's just a waste of my time. And then if I don't get up, you don't guarantee me a spot next time. I have to just go do it again. So there's too much randomness for me, Dave. And it doesn't reward, I don't think, effort. It doesn't reward it. Maybe everybody makes effort, but the effort doesn't get paid off because each week you jump in the bucket and the odds are the same as it was last time. So one person can show up 1 week and get on, while some other asshole like me can call in or try to get on 6 times in a row And it doesn't happen. I've made more of an effort doing it 6 times than the person has 1 time. I also just put the list out and have people sign it. What's wrong with that? That rewards people who want to get in the car, who want to go park, who are happy to walk through a crappier neighborhood to get to the show, who are willing to do all the stuff that is designed to weed people out from the endeavor. Dave, you know, you've done Laughing Skull Mike. Wow, when do I get on? It's going to be a month. They're going to call in. So what? Just do that and keep doing that. I got a park and it's Midtown Atlanta. It's $10. Yeah, all that stuff is going to weed people out. This is what I love about life. Just persistence. It loads on a value of mine. Just persist. Who's going to stick with it? Who's going to persist and who isn't? Because I know I'm going to. And that's what I can control. I love that. I love that about it. I told you numerous stories about Alvin Choir. And I, when we started in Atlanta, just going everywhere, going to the shittiest mics and the shittiest places, sign up, go again. We're the only 2 people here. They're like, oh, until other comics come, can you do 10 minutes? And you're like, yeah, sure, I can stretch 30 seconds of material into 10 minutes. Absolutely. And more and more time. I like things that can... Do I sound Republican? I like things that can weed people out. I don't mean for that to sound too free market, but I do kind of mean that in a free market sense. I'm not thinking about it in political terms. I'm thinking about it in, just rewarding effort. And for people who don't want to make the effort, they don't have to be included. Dave goes on to say, I might get a... He doesn't want to waste a whole evening hoping he gets a spot. I don't either, Dave. Trust me. He says, then he goes on to say, sure, it's fun to watch open mics. Well, Dave, there's never been a more false statement made on this podcast. Sure, it's fun to watch open mics. Well, you're earlier into comedy than I am. I'm giving you a hard time, but it's fucking brutal to watch an open mic, dude. And wait till you start hosting one. You'll be like, oh, yeah, this is a... I still love it because I'm a comic junkie, but I don't know if I'd ever characterize it. Back when I used to go to open mics, now I'm back doing open mics for about another 2 weeks, and then this bullshit's over, hopefully. I used to say, all right, I'm going out to a mic, and my wife would say, have fun. I'm like, that's not how an open mic works at all. It's awful. Which I love because, again, it provides a hurdle that you have to get over. And then people are like, okay, these are the people who were willing to go through that hurdle. Joe and Alvin and Brian King and Nick Murphy and every Plug Chapman and everybody else. Here we are. And who didn't? Well, Blanford, she used to go to every open mic. Now she's on Fallon. Now she's headlining across country. Blanford used to go to all of the open mics. Anyway, here's the point. Dave goes on to say, but usually when I go to an open mic, it's because I want to participate. Well, fuck yeah, Dave. You should never go to an open mic. Nobody, I don't think there are times where comics come into rooms. I'm like, oh, hey, you want to do a spot? And they're like, oh, no, I just came to hang. Like, that's not what a comic does. I mean, there are times where you're like, nah, yeah, just going to have a beer. And but if you should not be going to any shows or mics if you're not intending to get up. That's not a judgment, but it's like, are you a comic or not? Right? If you're a baseball player, you don't just go hang around the batting cages just to see, what happens or have a beer, do you? I don't know, maybe you do. So Dave says, it's because I want to participate. I'm in talks with a few venues to start hosting mics in an effort to avoid having my name stuck at the bottom of a bucket somewhere. Did I like this comment? Yeah, I did like this comment. Dave, that is the best. Few things will accelerate your comedy, your stand-up comedy ability than hosting an open mic. And candidly, the more dreadful it is, the better it will make you. I got to the point where I was hosting the Laughing Skull Lounge, and yeah, sure, that made me better, but it is not nearly as beneficial as hosting some grinder mic like Pizza Mic, like Brian King and I hosted. And though he goes on, he left a second comment. I'll like this one too. And like you said about the Atlanta scene, there may be multiple mics per night somewhere. There's a newer room in Marietta hosting Wednesday night mics these days, and I got on there the last 2 weeks. Hell yeah. I saw they had a full show tonight and no one with a spot secured had canceled or failed to show up. Right. So he goes and he hangs around to see if anybody doesn't show up. Everybody showed up and he did what you're supposed to do. I drove to Smith's old bar. They've had an open mic on Wednesdays for quite some time now. Yeah, I know. I remember when I think Zachary Wright started it. This is exactly how it should work. He went to this place. He saw that everybody who had a spot showed up. Nobody canceled. They showed the list. So they're like, hey, dude, you can get on with your life. We're going to do our mic. Hopefully you can get on somewhere else. And then he drove from Marietta, listeners, which is probably into Atlanta and parking, a 30-minute drive. He drove to Smith's old bar where they had an old mic. They have a mic. The nice young lady who was hosting the mic. Was she a nice young lady, Dave? The nice young lady who was hosting the mic. I'm going blind here. So what Dave did, which I really respect, is he was in Marietta. I don't know where he lives. He was in Marietta. He tried to get on. He saw, and the venue and the mic showrunner did its part and said, you're not going to get on tonight. He said, no worries, thanks. He didn't throw a fit. He drove 30 minutes because he's a real one to try to get on at Smith's old bar. And there was a nice young lady who was hosting the mic, did me that solid and gave me that feeling you were talking about when she allowed my name to be added to the list, even if I was going up 29th out of 33-ish comics on the mic. I was glad to have an opportunity to be on a stage with a microphone in my hands for a few minutes again. You'll be the king of San Diego in no time, Joe. I don't know about that. That's it. She did you a solid, like that guy did me. Like, yeah, dude, you have a confirmed spot. Who cares if it's 29th? Who cares if it's 33rd? 29 out of 33. Just go up and say the words that you cared enough to write. That's all that matters. I told you, I went to that one in Barrio Logan on Monday, and the sound and the setup could not have been worse. But I bought my drink to get 2 extra minutes to just say the words that I cared enough to write down. Of course, the guy lighted me like 2 minutes in. I'm like, dude, I just bought the drink. Don't I get 2 extra? And he's like, yeah, no worries. Go ahead. And then he stood like 5 feet from the stage. I'm going to get off, but I'm also going to go 5 minutes. And then, like I told you, then like some other dude was just like, gay guy, white, straight guys suck dick. White guys suck dick. I love this, Dave. Kudos to you for doing your damn thing. This is, in my eye, this is how I spy with my little eye something that begins with the letter C for crow. This is exactly how I believe you should approach that phase of your career, Dave. Stay positive, stay optimistic. There's going to be plenty of people who want to shit talk this room, shit talk the mic, shit talk I'm not getting booked. Da, 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 da. Stay positive, dude. Stay optimistic, just like you're doing. And just keep writing and going up every single night. And when you start a mic, as someone told me years ago, it gives you time. The show doesn't start until you say it starts. So how much time should I do at the top? And some people, when they start out, they're like, hey, thanks for coming to the show. Here's your first comic. Don't do that. Warm up the crowd. How much time should you? As fucking much as you want, dude. Take 10 minutes if you have to. Take 15. Take 20 minutes as I would do now and again. You know, you don't have probably 20 minutes of material. But don't do just like 3 minutes, Dave. You got the mic, and I'm envisioning you getting a show of your own to host. You worked to build the relationship with the venue. You love stand-up comedy enough, or at least you're compelled to do it enough that you took steps to make that relationship happen. You've thought about it. You've discussed it with your friends, maybe your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your spouse's partners, whoever it is. You didn't do all that. You didn't take the time to write down the things you care about, to just go up there and say, okay, now here's the start of your show. Take 10 minutes at the beginning, dude. How are you supposed to run it? However you want. Just do at all times what's best for the show. You doing 10 minutes at the top might not be best, or it might not seem like it's best because you're bombing your balls off. But a lot of times that's what hosting is. It's taking one for the team. It's getting the audience accustomed to, I'm going to talk, you're going to respond. Even if your response is silence to a bomb, that's happened, dude. But you have nothing to lose except the mic. Except the venue going, this guy is not funny, this show sucks, let's close it down. Just stay positive, stay optimistic, keep me posted, certainly commenting on my post, let me know how it's going, or send message to the podcast. And for the love of all things sacred, if you want to do a bucket, but tell people if they're going to be on the show at the beginning. Don't make them sit around for 2 hours. Anyway, that's all I had for you today. I got ramped up talking about the war on drags. Like, what an American thing. How American is that? Our passion for picking on, you know what we do? We never pick a fair fight. You've heard me say this across podcasts. We never pick a fair fight. We fight Grenada. We fight drag queens. We fight Iraq. You know what I mean? We never square up with China. I mean, maybe we are now. We never, I don't know. Like, we're bullies. And fascists now. I know a substantial portion of the population likes this authoritarianism, go fuck you and your feelings, and the police will be here to kick the shit out of you. My daughter asked me what a billy club, I tell you this, what she asked me, like, why does a cop carry that billy club or that baton? To fucking smash people in the head with it is why. That's why. I told you I have a cousin. Have I told you I have a cousin who's a cop in San Diego? Which is why, you know, it's just further proof, if I haven't said this, the expression, I'm not racist. I have lots of black friends. Does not hold up to any scrutiny. Or I'm not homophobic. I work with 3 gay guys. Just is nonsensical because I love this cousin who is a cop. He's one of my favorite people. But I fucking hate police. You know what I mean? Like, with a broad, I'm policist. And I know it doesn't hold up to scrutiny. Like, I paint with a broad brush when I talk about hating the cops. The institution of it. I know it doesn't hold it. It's as simple-minded as being racist is, or being homophobic, or hating women, or anything else your religions compel you to do. I know. I'm just it, and it's lazy and it's hypocritical. It's in some ways cowardice, but it is, and it's illogical just to sweep every single police person into that group. But I do. Also, cops are assholes. Never forget that. And you know how cops are assholes? There was a guy in Pennsylvania recently. Are you aware of this guy who for like the second time at this prison, broke. He was a killer, a convicted killer who broke out of a prison and was missing for a few days, I think in September. A Brazilian dude who futsaled his way up the wall of a prison, broke out, and then just pieced it. And the cops were looking for him, and the people in those communities were not doing anything to help the cops. They were rooting for the bad guy. This guy stabbed his baby mama to death in front of their kids, and people were like, fucking go, dude. Cops are after you. Wild, wild shit. Anyway, have a great weekend, and think clearly. Think, argue against your own positions. I'm also talking to myself. Argue against your own positions. Try to be more correct than right. But most of all, love each other. Stay positive. Stay optimistic. Every day, it's ridiculous. I wake up every day in a good goddamn mood. All right, I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Bye.